In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing. This is part six, I should say, talk six of Luisa and re-entering the womb of the Celestial Father in the Divine Will, part one. Okay. We are on page 12, volume 17, 618, 1925. The Divine Will came out from the eternal womb of the Supreme Being. So here we have the truth of the divine will. This is very, very important for us. What our Lord wants is he wants us to go back to where we were before the fall. And this is why Christ came to earth to redeem us. Our Lady came to co-redeem with Christ, the new Adam and the new Eve, to have their life. And the first one who possesses this gift is Luisa. So he says, the Lord shows us in volume 17, the divine will came out of the eternal womb of the Supreme Being for the good of mankind. Okay, God has planned this, that we begin to live this abundant life. So while doing one single act in the coming out from ourselves in order to overwhelm mankind in such a way that mankind would not find a way out, God wants us to always be with him. This divine will of ours then is multiplied to many innumerable acts in order to surround mankind and to say to mankind, see, this holy divine will of mine is not only enraptures you, Luisa, but it is a continuous attitude of doing immediate acts in order to be known and to receive your act in return in my most holy divine will. So Jesus says he wants us to participate in God, participate in himself. There's innumerable acts all throughout the world, and he says, I want your act to be participate in what God has done. You know, when God said, fiat lux, let there be light, everything began. And fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother, the incarnation took place. God became man. And now the fiat voluntas tua. Jesus says, I want you to enter into these acts of God. You breathe in my, you say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking. You gaze at the heavens, Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Let me adore the Father, praise the Father as you did, Lord. I want your praise to be echoed in my gazing while you're gazing in my gazing. It's to return, to give back to God what is God's. He gives us this gift in order that we can give it back to him. It's the breathing. It's the waves of the shore. It's the continual motion of God. All things have their return. And if they didn't, if they don't, they could be called useless works without value. So God wants to see the value of what he has done in us. He wants that return. The seed which is sown under the earth by the sower wants its return. So the seed generates more seeds, 10, 20, 30, out of one. The tree which is planted by the farmer wants the return of the generation and multiplication of the fruits. The water which is drawn from the font gives the return of quenching one's thirst, of washing and cleaning the one who drew it. Okay, so they get the water. Why? To receive the return. The fire which is lit gives the return of the heat and the service it renders to humanity. In the same way, all the other things created by God, who has the power to generate, contains the virtue of regenerating, of regeneration. They multiply and give their return. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. You know, we are breathing. Why? God gave us that gift. Now he says, Let God breathe in your breathing. Let give back to God the I love you that he breathed into us. Every time we breathe out, it's an I love you to God. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. That's what our Lord did. That's what our Lady did. That's what they gave to Luisa. And now Jesus wants us to learn from what he taught Luisa how to live this life. now is only this divine will of ours, which came out from within ourselves, God, the triune God, with so much love and so many manifestations, with so many continuous acts to remain without its return of regeneration of the other human wills into the divine. So here he says, I want you to do this. All of mankind, even the saints who did the will of God, he says, I want more than that. I want you now to live in the will of God as Jesus lived, as Mary lived. To see what God is doing, it's to begin this new way of living. And it's really not new. It's the oldest way. It's the way Adam lived before the fall. It's the way Jesus lived. It's the way Mary lived. And now is the time, because of Louisa, to begin to learn how to do this. So he says, a seed gives more seeds. A fruit generates another fruit. Man generates another man. A master forms another master. It is our most holy divine will alone, as powerful as it is, to remain isolated without the return, without the regeneration, without the multiplying itself in the human will. Ah, no, this is impossible. Since our holy divine will has its return, it shall have its divine generations in the human will. God is going to have this done. And he's asking us to do it. More so, since this was our prime act through which all things were created, that our holy divine will would transform and regenerate the human will back into the divine. How amazing is this? The divine will is what came out from ourselves, the triune God. The divine will is what we, triune God, want. All of the things were done in a secondary order. While this was done, this established in the primacy, the primary order of creation, to do everything in the divine will. This is what God wanted from Adam. Adam began this, but he failed when he did his human will. When he put in charge of the divine will is supposed to be in charge of us. He put the human will in charge. The divine will was to reign in us, but he put his human misery in charge. At the most, it may take time, but the century shall not end until my most holy divine will does not obtain its purpose. If it has obtained the purpose of regeneration and the secondary things, more so, it must obtain in the ordinary purpose of our divine will. Our divine will would never have departed from our womb if it had known that it would not have obtained its complete effects, and that is that the human will would be regenerated in the most holy divine will. God knows this is going to happen. God has planned this. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said 72 years ago to Bruno, time has now come to an end. This time of Lucifer is done. It's not the end of the world. It's the new beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. It's a new beginning to live the life that Jesus lived, to live the life that Mary lived, the new Adam and the new Eve, and the firstborn. The newborn of the divine will has got everything written down. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, it is a new beginning for us and for everyone. Volume 17, 629, 1925. I was feeling oppressed, and a thought wanted to disturb the serenity of my mind. What if you were at the moment of death, and doubts and fears about the way you have behaved during your life arose within you, to the extent of making you doubt about your salvation? What would you do? This is the question. This is our question given to Louisa. But as I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus gave me no time to reflect any further or to answer my thought. And moving in my interior, Jesus made himself seen shaking his head, and though saddened by that thought, he told me, my daughter, what are you saying? To think about this is an affront to my most holy divine will. No fears, no doubts, no dangers can enter into the divine will. These are things which do not belong to the divine will. Rather, they are the miserable rags of the human will. See, again, Jesus is saying, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He's really saying to us, I want you to begin to live this abundant life. No more of this. You are to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. We're to begin to live heaven on earth. My holy divine will is like the placid sea, which murmurs peace, happiness, safety, certainty. Christian hope is certainty. And the waves it unleashes from its womb are waves of joy and contentments without end. Therefore, in seeing you think about this, I was shaken. My divine will is not capable of fears, not capable of doubts, not capable of dangers. And the soul who lives in the divine will becomes estranged to the miserable rags of the human will. And then, what could my will fear? Who could ever raise doubts about its works? If before the divine sanctity of my operating will, all tremble and all are forced to bend their foreheads, adoring the work of my divine will. It's God is in charge. God is Lord. God is King. God is Master. God is Savior. There's nothing to worry about. We enter into this life of Jesus, this life of Mary. Our Lady was not afraid, was not doubting, was not capable of that at the crucifixion. She went through great sorrow, but she was filled with confidence and hope in God, trust in God. That's what God is looking for in us. We have to pass that test. He tests us every day. What about this situation? What about that situation? Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Volume 17, 720, 1925. As I was in my usual state, which was suffering, after going through the most bitter privations of my sweet Jesus, finally, he made himself seen. Without even saying a word to me, he placed me in a painful position, in perfect immobility. I felt life, but I had no motion. And while feeling pain, I was unable to writhe because of the pain I felt, and I was forced in the presence of Jesus and of his most holy will to remain immobile. I got a glimpse of that when I broke my back. I was in pain. And I was agonizing, yelling, screaming. And the doctor, my mother was there. This was hours after I broke my back, and my mother was there. And the doctor said, I'm going to give him morphine. He will not be in any pain. He gave me morphine, and almost instantly I was silent. I was still filled with pain, but I couldn't scream. And after 5 days, I said to the doctor, I don't want morphine anymore. It's easier for me to scream than to not being able to scream and be in such pain. There was more relief in screaming. And here she says, she's unable to writhe because of the pain, but I was forced by the presence of Jesus, it was holy to divine will, to remain immobile. The poor thing. I got a glimpse of it. The poor thing, Louisa. What she went through for us. And then my blessed Jesus, pleased to do so, he stretched out his arms, he grabbed me and pressed me to his womb. See, it's to go back to God. To live one with God. Protected by God. A little fetus is completely surrendered to God. To the mother, I should say. And that's what happens to us. We're completely surrendered. God's going to take care of us. He's going to protect us. He's going to nourish us. He's going to keep us warm. Volume 17, 8-2, 1925. I was praying and fusing myself in the most holy divine will. Fusing is most important. Learn how to fuse yourself in the divine will. I wanted to wander everywhere, up into the heavens, in order to find that supreme I love you, which is not subject to any interruption, and I wanted to make it my own, so that I too might have an I love you, which is never interrupted, in which might echo the eternal I love you, and by possessing the source of the true I love you within me, I might have an I love you for each one, forever, for all mankind, for every moment, for every act, for every breath, for every heartbeat, and for every I love you of my Jesus himself. and I reached to the womb of the Eternal One, making there I love you my own, and keeping, I kept repeating everywhere upon each thing a lullaby of I love yous to my Supreme Lord. This is the divine will. It's to live in the I love you of God, to participate in the I love you of God with every thought, every word, every deed. Our intellect, memory, and will is completely surrendered to God. We think from a divine perspective. Our memory is of Jesus, and our human will is surrendered to live in the divine will. We enter into that divine I love you. We enter into the life of God, the light of God, which is the love of God. Our Lord has great plans. We have seen nothing yet of what God is going to do for his little ones. He loves us so much that he has given us this gift. Enter into that I love you. Every heartbeat, when you begin your prevening act in the morning, every heartbeat must be an I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you, I glorify you, I love you. Every heartbeat, every breath, every step, every gaze, everything you hear, everything has to enter into that divine I love you. This is what God is asking. This is the womb of the Father. This is the womb of the Eternal One. Volume 18, 8, 9, 1925. My daughter, all created things were nothing other than the act of our divine will that issued from them. Nor can they move or change the effects, the positions, or the office in which of them is received by its creator. They are nothing other than the divine mirrors in which man was to admire the divine reflections of the divine qualities of his God. In some, the divine power, in some, divine beauty, in others, created things, the divine goodness, the divine immensity, the divine light, etc. This isn't human. This is divine. In some, each created thing preaches to man the divine qualities of its creator. And God wants us to receive these divine qualities. We find that in the sixth day of creation, when Our Lady speaks to Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. The very sixth day. Read that. My goodness. This is how we're to live. And with mute voices, they tell mankind how much God loves him. On the other hand, in creating Adam, it was not just our holy divine will, but an emanation that came out of our womb and part of ourselves that we infused in him. This is why we, Triune God, created mankind with a free will. That he, with this free will, might grow always divinely beautiful in divine wisdom, in divine virtue. In a divine likeness, he could multiply his goods and his graces that God has showered him with. Do you see what God is calling us to? It's not a life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. Learn the command prayer. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. Grow closer and closer to Jesus and Mary. Begin to live their lives. Volume 18, 10, 1, 1925. With the sphere of my humanity, my holy humanity, my divine will placed my divine works, my divine steps, my divine words, my divine blood, my divine wounds, my divine pains, and everything I, God, did as though on the way in order to call man and to give him sufficient aids and means to save him and to make him come back again, back into the womb of my divine will. The apostles live the new way. The presbyters live the new way. Read Acts. Jesus is asking us to live this new way. And it's not new at all. It's the way Jesus lived, the way Mary lived, the way Adam lived before the fall, the way Louisa lived. We have to be filled with that zeal as we read the volumes to want this gift more than anything. To give up everything for this gift, the gift of the most holy divine will, to return to the womb of this great gift of the divine will. Volume 18, 1, 28, 26. So my divine will is medicine. It is sanity. It is preservation. It is food. It is life. It is fullness of the highest divine sanctity. In whatever way the creature wants, so it offers itself. If the soul wants it as medicine, it offers itself in order to take away from her the fever of the passions, the weak of weaknesses of impatience, the vertigo of pride, the sickliness of attachments, and so on with all the rest of the evils. If the soul wants it as sanity, it offers itself to preserve her healthy, to free her from any spiritual illness. If it wants it as food, it gives itself as food to make her strength develop and grow more in sanctity. If she wants it as life, as fullness of sanctity, oh then, my most holy divine will makes feast, because it sees mankind returning back into the womb of his origin from which he came, and it offers itself to give him the likeness of his God, the only purpose of his creation. The only reason we were created was to be in God's image and likeness. My divine will never leaves mankind. If it left him, he would resolve into nothingness. If mankind does not give himself to letting my divine will make him a saint, my divine will uses the ways to at least save him. God wants us to have everything. He wants us to share in his divinity. My daughter, the primary purpose of my coming upon earth was indeed this one, that mankind would return to the womb of my divine will as he came out when he was created by God. But in order to do this, I, Jesus, had to form, by means of my holy humanity, the root, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the flowers, from which the celestial fruits of my divine will were to come out. No one can have the fruit without the tree. Jesus shows us this. Everything is ready. He says the saints were the flowers of the tree. He says, and now I want my little children to produce the fruit. Why does he love the fruit? It has the seed to produce more trees, more likenesses of God. Volume 18, 2:11, 19:26. Now, if you wanted to do an act of your human will, not connected with mine, you would come to form the wormwood of the mission which I, God, have entrusted to you, Louisa. And like a second Adam, you, Louisa, would ruin the root of the tree of my divine will, in which I want to form in you, Louisa. You would jeopardize all those who would want to graft themselves to this tree, because they would not find all the fullness of my divine will in you, Louisa, the one whom it had its beginning. This is why we never separate ourselves from Louisa. Jesus says, do not cut the umbilical cord from the womb of Louisa. Therefore, it is I, your God, who cast this fear into your soul, so that my most holy divine will may always be dominant in you, and all the manifestations in which I have made to you may always be in vegetation, in order to form the divine root, the trunk, the branches, the flowers, the fruits, without the shadow of your human will being part of it. It's Louisa who possesses this gift. She has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which God wants us to possess. Read this book every day. If you don't have the calendar, get the calendar. Read every single day what Jesus says to Louisa. Put it into practice every single day. A year will go by and you will not be the same. You cannot be the same. If you're listening to Jesus, you're hearing Jesus speak to you. In this way, you would return back to your origin, back into the womb of your Creator. You'll become all beautiful. You'll be grown. You'll be formed with the fullness of the supreme will. And the divinity satisfied in you, of the work of creation of mankind, it would make its chosen people, the fiat voluntas to on earth as it is in heaven, come out from you, Louisa. The little children of the Holy Divine will come out from you, Louisa, and from the mission entrusted to you. That is to form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, be attentive. And when Jesus says that to us, he says, read, study, put this into practice. Be attentive, my daughter, and do not want to ruin the work of my divine will in you. I, God, love it so much. It cost me so much that I, God, shall use all my infinite jealousies. I, God, shall manifest and I shall guard my divine will so that your human will may never have life ever again. It will be God's holy divine will in you, not your human misery any longer. Volume 18, 2:18, 19:26. So you see, my daughter, each manifestation that I, God, make to you, Louisa, about my whole most holy divine will is a beautiful release from the womb of the divinity, which not only makes you happy and disposes you more to live in my divine will, but prepares you more for more new knowledges. You see what Jesus is saying? He wants us to read every day. He wants to teach us more and more and more. New divine knowledges as you read it. As you read it again, there's new divine knowledges. As you read it again, there's new... See, he's expanding your capacity to hear God, to listen to God, to prepare you for more new knowledges. Read the calendar every day. And not only this, but all of heaven remains inundated by that new beatitude, which comes out from our most holy divine will. It's always new. When you read new, hear God. New heavens and new earth, God's heavens and God's earth. New truths, God's truths. Nothing is stagnant in God. It's always new. It's always beautiful. Oh, how grateful they are to you, Louisa. How they pray that I, God, continue the manifestations of my most holy divine will to you, Louisa Picaretta. These beatitudes were closed into ourselves, the triune God, by the human misery, by the human will. And each act of the human will is a lock to keep out these celestial beatitudes, not only in time, but also in eternity. Because in each act of my divine will done on earth sows in the soul the seed of that beatitude which shall be enjoyed in heaven. Every gaze, every smile, everything that you think, say, and do is going to be magnified in heaven. Like Our Lady said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Without the seed, it is useless to hope for the plant. Therefore, deeper and deeper do I, God, want you to go inside my most holy divine will. Deeper and deeper do I want you to read and study and put into practice the truths that I've manifested to you, Louisa, in the book of heaven. You see what Jesus is asking? This is the first bread. Have some every morning. Have some every noon. Have some every evening. Have some every night. When you get up in the middle of the night, read. Enter into this gift. Volume 19, 331, 1926. My daughter, this divine light, this divine dwelling is so enchanting, which knows neither sunset nor night, is my most holy divine will. Everything is complete in the divine will. Divine happiness, divine strength, divine beauty, divine knowledge of the Supreme Being, etc. This divine light is so endless, which is our most holy divine will, came out of the womb of the divinity as a heritage to man. See, 12:20 through 36 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what Jesus is saying. These are the most beautiful inheritance that we could give to mankind. It came out from our innermost womb, bringing with it a share of all our divine goods, to let the creature inherit them if they wish, and to form mankind as all beautiful, all holy, in the very likeness of the one God who created him. Begin to live this. Begin to talk to Jesus when you're reading the volumes. Ask our Blessed Mother to help you learn this. Go back over the first 6 days of creation that Our Lady taught Louisa. The last day you receive the divine reflections of God. I mean, God wants us to participate in Him. Volume 19, 4, 9, 1926. Therefore, the greatest fortune for a soul is to let herself be dominated by my most holy divine will. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? The greatest fortune for a soul is to let herself be dominated by my divine will. He's given us the book of heaven. He's asking us to read this, to study this, to put this into practice, be dominated by it. That soul holds supremacy over everything. This is Louisa. Louisa occupies the first place of honor of the whole of creation. Louisa never moves away from the point in which God delivered her. God finds Louisa always on his paternal knees, singing to him, singing his glory, singing his love, singing his eternal, most holy, divine will. So since Louisa is on the knees of the celestial Father, the first love is for Louisa. Oceans of grace, which overflow continuously from the divine womb, are Louisa's. The first kisses, the most loving caresses, are precisely for Louisa. Now, Our Lady possesses all this. Louisa is born of original sin. And like Our Lady, she is receiving this. She isn't greater than the Blessed Mother. She can never be equal to the Blessed Mother. She's the little daughter, but she possesses the royalty of the Queen of Heaven and Earth. She possesses the royalty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is what Jesus wants us to possess. This is why we wear the scapular. This is the clothing of heaven. We're saying to the Blessed Mother, we're saying to the Lord Jesus, we're saying to our Heavenly Father, we're saying to the Holy Spirit, I want to be reclothed in the divine will. Jesus loves us very much. He's given us Louisa. Only to Louisa can we triune God and trust our secrets. Because being the one, Louisa, a born of original sin, who's closest to us, who remains more with us, we let Louisa share in all our divine things. We form Louisa's life. We form Louisa's joy. We form Louisa's happiness. And Louisa forms our divine joy, our divine happiness. In fact, since Louisa's will is one with ours, and since our holy divine will possesses our very happiness, it is no wonder that by possessing our most holy divine will, Louisa can give divine joys and divine happinesses back to God. And so we triune God and Louisa, make each other happy. Look what God is doing. This is a human. We know this is what Our Lady goes through. We know she's mother and queen. Jesus said, my mother is my paradise. Well, what happens is, when we begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is found in Louisa, we become Jesus' paradise as well, where he can dwell within us. God's got great plans. And so we, Louisa and the triune God, make each other happy. And again, when you mention Jesus, you always mention Our Lady. When you say Jesus, it's always Jesus, Mary. Our Lord has great, great, great love for us. He's got great plans for us. And he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to say yes. He needs us to say, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 19, 5, 3, 1926. So it is impossible for us, triune God, not to enjoy, not to love, not to listen to our divine will, bilocated in the soul, in Louisa and in the little children of the holy divine will linked to Louisa. It's impossible for us not to enjoy this, not to love this, not to listen to the divine will in Louisa and us linked to Louisa. Why? It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary that God wants us to possess. On the contrary, The divine will alone brings to us, Triune God, as if on its lap, our divine joy, our divine happiness, and our divine love, which overflowed from our womb into our work ad extra in the creation. It's all around us. St. Thomas Aquinas says, you see the love of God in creation. You look at a sunset and you go, oh. You look at the heavens at night and you go, oh. You see the love of God. Everything has been created for us by our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. Everything. When you walk on the seashore and you pick up a shell, that has been given to us by God. He planned for us to see that from before the universe was created. He loves us so much. He's asking us, he's pleading with us, would you be willing to say yes to this? How amazing is this? How amazing. It repeats the feast for us, Triune God. It renews in us, Triune God, the divine joy that we felt in creating so many beautiful things on earth. In creation, I should say. Worthy of us, Triune God. Everything, every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand is an I love you to us. And we breathe this in with our eyes, our ears, our noses. We smell this, we taste this, we touch this all around us. And we say to God, and I love you. We got to begin to hear and see and smell and taste and touch the I love yous all around us. Breathing them in with our eyes and our ears and our noses. Breathing them in. Absorbing them and saying, yes, thank you, and I love you too through these gifts. I return them. I return this I love you back to you, Lord God. I love you and I adore you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. This is what we do when in front of the Blessed Sacrament, most especially looking at Jesus in the monstrance. I adore you and I love you and I praise you and I thank you and I bless you and I worship you with your adoration, with your blessing, with your I love you to the Father. In the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So that you, Lord Jesus, hear and see not only me kneeling in front of you, me praying in front of you, but all of mankind from the first to the last person. Looking at you. With your gaze, adoring you with your adoration, praising you with your praise. Do you see what Jesus is doing? It really is a new beginning. It really is a new beginning. So he says very clearly, how not to love the one who gives us the occasion to bilocate our most holy divine will? God reigns in us. By letting the divine will reign within Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa, to give us, Triune God, divine love, divine adoration, divine glory. It's Jesus that's doing it in us. It's Mary that's doing it. She possessed it from God. And now Jesus and Mary are saying, I want you to begin to live my life, our life, the new Adam and the new Eve. How spectacular is this? How amazing is this? Read the divine will. Study the divine will. There's only one person that won't let you do this, and that's yourself. You can find excuse after excuse not to. But when you promise Jesus that you want to live in the divine will, and you promise Jesus that I will read every day, God says, good, watch what I will do. You're going to hear me. You're going to see me. You're going to smell me. You're going to taste me. You're going to touch me. When you become attentive, watch what God's going to do. This is really a new way that we have to begin to live. This is the Catholic way to live. God is giving us a great opportunity. This gift of gifts is ours if we wish. So Jesus says very, very clearly, Louisa says, I was thinking of what Jesus had told me, and I said to myself, is all this possible? That's our question. And the divine will reaches the point of bilocating in the soul in order to reign in the soul as its own dwelling, in its divine womb. It's us possessing God and God possessing us. Mutual possession. Now listen to what Jesus says. My daughter, do you want to know how this happens? Imagine a poor little hovel in which a king, taken by love for it, wants to reside. So the voice of the king can be heard coming from within the hovel. From it come his commands, as well as his works. Inside of the hovel, there are foods apt to nourish the king, the chair worthy of the king, on which the king can sit. So the king has changed nothing of that which befits his royal person. He has only changed his residence from a royal palace of his own will. With greatest delight, he has chosen the hovel. This little hovel is the soul. That's us. The king is my most holy divine will. How many times do I hear the voice of my will that prays, that speaks, that teaches in this little hovel of your soul? This is what happens when we read the volumes. Jesus and Mary are praying in us. Jesus and Mary are speaking to us. Jesus and Mary are teaching us in this little hovel of our soul. Begin to hear Jesus when you read. Begin to hear the Blessed Mother when you read. This is who Louisa heard. Begin to live this life of Jesus. This life of Mary. This is what she tells Louisa. I'm going to show you the how and the way this is going to happen. I'm going to show you the how and the way it can happen. Read. Study. Be attentive. Put this into practice. Read every day. Make this your life. Make this a priority of your life. Read every day. Let Jesus speak to you. Let Mary speak to you. Through little Louisa. He says this. This is what's so amazing. He says again, really clearly, how many times do you not hear the voice of my will praying in you, speaking in you, teaching in you? Do we hear Jesus speaking when we read? Do we hear Mary teaching when we read? If you haven't, you're not attentive. This is what he means. Be attentive. Who is talking to you? Who is speaking to you? Who is teaching you? Who is leading you? Who is guiding you? It is Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through the newborn, the firstborn, Louisa Picaretta. How many times do I not see my works come out of you? Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, listen in my listening. Jesus, pray in my praying. How many times do you not see that I, God, rule, I, God, vivify, I, God, preserve all created things from your little hovel? Jesus, thank you. Looking at the heavens, looking at the blue sky. One of the things that Father Bucci said, that Louisa's eyes were like the blue sky over the dome of St. Peter at high noon. That's the color of Louisa's eyes. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Adore the Father. Praise the Father. Glorify the Father in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Will I not? My holy divine will does not take into account your littleness. On the contrary, the divine will likes your littleness greatly. What the divine will looks for is absolute dominion. Do we let the divine will reign in us? Because although absolute dominion, through absolute dominion, it can do whatever it wants. Do with me as you wish, Jesus. And places whatever it likes. In place of ever whatever it likes. Lord, reign in me. Breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Gaze in my gazing. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want Mary to be the Lord of my life. I want to live this life of Jesus and Mary. Jesus says, get out of my way and let me do this. And again, it's always fiat. Fiat, fiat, fiat. That's what Jesus is looking for. That's what Jesus is waiting for. So this is the end of part one. We've got part two and part three, which gets even more magnificent than this. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.